so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. We get so many Facebook likes and questions, and lots of people listen to this radio show. We're very happy to see we're up to close to 150,000 podcast downloads for this show, which is on the Gary Null Network, Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. So welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Now, in addition, we have many different classes and workshops. We have a Chinatown trip that we're now taking registration for because that always sells out, and that is coming up in April. And we also have a trip to the island of Jamaica where you live and study with shamanic indigenous healers for about a week. It's the 27th year that we are running this workshop. And it's very, very cost-effective. You also can get college credits for it. And you live and study in a beautiful little shack. You can look at Echo Tours for Cures. The website shows you everything that we do there. It's really coming right up because takeoff is March 12th of 2016. And if you're listening to this show pre-recorded another time, we do have them every year. And we actually live in beautiful cabins right on the beach, on the water. And then we have workshops and hikes. So we call it an education vacation because you are having fun. You're also learning about natural remedies, natural bodywork techniques, and you do get college credit for it. So wonderful trip. And for those professionals who are nurses, midwives, massage therapists, nutritionists, dietitians, acupuncturists. We have a course coming up which offers 18 CEU credits. And by the way, anyone can take that course. And if you're not a professional, you will get a certification rather than the CEU credits because you wouldn't need the CEU credits, but you can get a certificate in herbal medicine. And that's an online course that's starting in March, April, May, and June. It is online. So you can find out more about that at naturalnurse.com under schedule or calendar. And then slide down to the dates in March and you'll start seeing that class ready to sign up for. In fact, many people are signed up for it. So if you want to learn more, either just for yourself and your family, if you want to learn about homeopathy, which we'll be talking about today, we do have an online course in homeopathy as well. And it's a matter of learning for yourself and your family so you're prepared in an emergency, or if you're interested in looking at this as a career, then, of course, we do have a class in career counseling about how to best prepare yourself by going to specific universities and accredited programs that will allow you to do natural medicine as a living with a real license. So those are all things you can get in touch about, and thank you so much for listening today. Our guest today is Dr. Elena Klimenko, medical doctor. She is board certified in internal medicine and operates the New York-based Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical. What a beautiful name. She is also certified in homeopathy and acupuncture. Dr. Klimenko graduated from the Integrative Medicine Fellowship at the Continuum for Health and Healing at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City, and she received her initial medical education in one of the best medical schools in Moscow, in Russia. Later, she moved to the United States, and she confirmed her medical degree with a series of the same medical tests and board exams that American medical students have to take. In her approach, Dr. Klimenko uses a holistic outlook to treat her patients by integrating conventional medicine with what might be considered alternative medicine to address the root of the illness. Her practice also offers non-invasive cosmetic procedures such as Botox and helping patients achieve internal as well as external beauty. You can visit her website at Dr. It's Dr. Elena, Elena Klimenko, Klimenko.com. And by the way, if you didn't have a chance to jot that down, we have all of our show's archives along with the show description and a link to the guest, so you'll be able to catch up with her. And so thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Klimenko.
Thank you very much, Alan. What a great introduction. And I was listening to you, and I couldn't believe it's about me, but your voice is so mesmerizing and so calming. So it is my great pleasure to be a guest at your show.
Thank you. I wonder if you, by any chance, knew Dr. Serafina Corsello.
I know of the name, of course.
Well, she has passed away, but I was
correct.
Her head nurse. She had the largest natural medicine center in New York. She was originally from Italy and became one of the first doctors certified by the Institute of Functional Medicine. In fact, she helped to start it. She was the foundation person and beginning person who began ACAM, so she was very politically active. The medical center was 5,000 square feet, right in the middle, in the heart of Manhattan, on the corner of 200 West 57th Street. So this was a major event. And I was actually her head nurse for 23 years. And it's very unfortunate that, you know, she has since passed away, but I thought you might know her because obviously you have been on a similar path. First you became interested, let me ask you, were you first interested in medicine because of natural therapies, or did that come later?
I think both. I sort of grew up in a very alternative medicine environment back in my home in Russia, where my father influenced all of us, and my mom as well. My mom was a nurse, a practicing nurse, and my dad was an engineer and physicist. But both of them practiced really healthy lifestyle at some point of their life. So we grew up understanding and learning the power of food, their power of lifestyle, how important it is to exercise and eat well. And therefore, that kind of shaped me up as a person. Later on, when I graduated medical school in Russia, which also had pretty integrative approach to health, and I moved to America, I had to go through their conventional training to become a conventional American medical doctor. And that kind of brought me to the conclusion of disappointment of what do I learn in conventional setting. And since then, I was in the path of learning how I can help people in the most holistic way, how I can stimulate their internal forces to do the job of healing and teach my patients to be on the healthy path, how to eat well, how to take supplements or herbs or homeopathy and reserve the pharmaceutical for the last option.
Yes, that's exactly how I function in my private practice, because sometimes pharmaceuticals are necessary, but they're an end of the road intervention when all else fails, not the first place to go. And this is good medicine. We use the word alternative, and as a matter of fact, my organization is called Natural Alternatives Health Education and Multimedia Network Incorporated, which I own along with my co-host here, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. But we started that 27 years ago, actually, we incorporated. And, we called it alternative, but we wouldn't say that now because I think the word integrative is really better, because I don't think these natural facilities that you're indicating that you use at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical, it's not really alternative. It's actually very science-based.
It is. I totally agree with you that there is a lot of evidence for integrative or alternative modalities, and they used to be alternative, right? Acupuncture, homeopathy, but how alternative is the food or nutrition? It is part of natural, regular life. So it is integrative, and there is so much evidence that we just don't see if we don't look for it. And unfortunately, in conventional setting, it's not promoted widely, and it's
promoted,
not taught
I would
in
say
the medical
that's,
school.
That's very mild. I think it's usually, discouraged rather than not promoted. they tell people, oh, natural medicine doesn't work at all, just stay with your drugs. And there was even a big article in the New York Times just, I think, last week, along with a Frontline television show saying just that, that supplements are not safe and you should visit your doctor and get prescription drugs.
Isn't that unfortunate?
It is, and it really seems like it was specifically backed by the pharmaceutical agent that the whole entire thing was presented as if it's a documentary and just a random article. But the next day, because I do so many radio shows and PR people know that, I was bombarded with representatives saying, oh, have our guest on, and there were all these conventional medical doctors who wanted to go on to back up the storyline saying that you should never use anything natural.
So well, I am not on that side of the camp, let's put it this way, because I see there, I know different data, and I see different data, and I see my patients, and I think that's the biggest proof to me, seeing people improved from chronic diseases with either modality I practice, and I usually integrate homeopathy and I integrate functional medicine because I am also certified in functional medicine, and I integrate Chinese medicine, and all of that is under the umbrella of healthy lifestyle, and we see those chronic medical conditions melting away.
Isn't
like chronic diabetes. You know, diabetes, I have people who come with hemoglobin A1C of 10, and in 2 months, with diet, supplements, the hemoglobin A1C goes down to 6.9. I mean, not everybody is like that, but a lot of motivated people who are ready to change and ready to do work, and they're under proper careful guidance, will be successful and will put their chronic diseases under control. Without
I really do say it has to do just what you're saying, Dr. Klimenko. You act as the teacher, which is what, you know, the word doctor really means, and you instruct people, but they have to do the work. They're the ones who put food in their mouth. They're the one who gets their butt up off the chair and exercises. So they do have to be ready, but it's so rewarding because look at that. In a couple of months, you can avoid a devastating, devastating disease.
Exactly. And I see more and more people searching for these alternative approaches, and they're ready to do the job. They just need the proper guidance. And when they go to the conventional setting, doctors are not trained to do it. They don't really know how to teach people to eat well. Sometimes they don't eat well themselves. So that's a different story.
That's a big part of it.
You know, but it's not taught. So unless the doctor is intuitively searching for right way of treating the patients and learning about nutrition and learning about supplements and learning about homeopathy or other alternative modalities or integrative modalities, there's no way they can help their clients and patients. And that creates a lot of frustration on either side. So I do encourage my colleagues, practitioners, healthcare practitioners, whatever level they are, to learn and educate themselves and search for new ways of helping the patients.
And very often what motivates physicians to become involved, and of course hundreds of thousands of physicians are now deeply involved in this kind of study, and you're way ahead because you started it sooner, very often because of either themselves, their wife, or their child.
Right.
And then it becomes very motivational to find something that actually works. Besides, they know taking all those pharmaceuticals don't, because they see that their patients do not get better, they get worse.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about homeopathy, because that's something that not too many people are, you know, have a real specialty in like you do.
Right. Homeopathy.
So what is homeopathy?
What homeopathy as a modality, as a medical modality, came to us from early 1800s, from Europe, from Germany, when Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, a German toxicologist, pharmacist, and physician, was a brilliant doctor of that time, approved homeopathy as a treatment modality. And homeopathy comes from the Greek word homeo, which means similar, and pathos, which meaning suffering. So similar suffering. What it means, it's a principle of that the substance that can cause disease in the toxic doses, something we can use in there if we expose to their large quantities of certain substance, can actually cure the same symptoms of the disease if used in the microscopic or microdoses or infinitesimal doses. I'll give you an example. If you drink a lot of coffee, and we all had exposed to large doses of coffee, and we know how it feels. We get agitated, we have trembling hands, we have palpitations, maybe we even can induce the anxiety, sleeplessness, right? So that's the coffee used in the large doses. If we take a patient with the same similar symptoms, for example, somebody is anxious, can't fall asleep, trembling, and we'll give them, that person, a homeopathic dilution or infinitesimal doses of coffee prepared in a special way, those symptoms may be resolved.
So, and that's what they mean by like cures like, which
exactly,
is a major tenet of homeopathy.
That's the main principle, right? Like cures like. Similar symptoms to similar symptoms of the substance that can cure that those symptoms.
Yeah, so another example I love to share is if people can think about using an onion, what happens if you're cutting a fresh onion? Most people have experienced that as well, so like coffee as well, where your eyes are going to run a little bit and they're kind of burny and itchy, and there's a homeopathic made out of onion called Allium, and that would be used when you have those kinds of symptoms. So it's an interesting concept.
Exactly. So when someone presents with the allergy symptoms, like burning eyes, tearing, stuffy nose, Allium Sepa, homeopathic Allium Sepa, could be extremely helpful. Another good example with their poison ivy. And everyone knows what's happening if you expose to toxic amount of poison ivy, right? We get this rash, vesicular rash with the small bubbles. So if you use a homeopathic dilution of poison ivy, which is called Rus toxidendron, you can help to alleviate that rash. So similar, like cures like. And that's the principle of homeopathy. So the substance that can cause the disease can also cure the disease if used in the small infinitesimal doses. And this modality has been around for more than 200 years and built remarkable safety records and a lot of body of knowledge and many hundreds and thousands of practitioners and millions of patients benefit from it. It's a really amazing modality.
And the gentleness of it is just fantastic. Not that you never, ever get, you can get something called aggravation reactions, but the first aid remedies rarely cause something like that.
Right. And that's why we can use it for children, we can use it for fragile elderly, without any concerns.
It's great for children because unlike herbs, which even for my own children, as well as hundreds of patients that I've used homeopathy on, probably thousands, it's been 35 years, and my own children are in their 40s now, and they were raised only on homeopathy and herbs. They never once had an antibiotic. And I found sometimes the herbs they wouldn't want to take because it had a bitter flavor, but homeopathy is so easy to use for
right.
children.
Because it's just a small little pellets that have a sweet taste. And I always tell my son, oh, here's your medicine, and this is your candy medicine. And he loves it. And he's been taking homeopathy from day one, not in the pellets, but as dilutant. You know, as in your example, no antibiotics so far, knock on wood.
Knock on wood, right. You want to try to avoid them. It's not okay to just give kids antibiotics 4 times a year for even the pediatric journal is on board with that now.
Finally. Thank God.
Yeah, finally. That's so true. So
right.
There's an interesting question, and I don't know if we actually have the science to understand the answer to this question, which is, how do homeopathic medicines work? What is their mechanism of action?
Well, it's definitely not clearly understood how homeopathic medicine works. There are some hypotheses. For example, if you speak with non-scientific people or some homeopaths, somewhere intuitively we feel that it stimulates the life force to do its job in healing particular problem in the body. But there's no really strong scientific evidence. However, lately there's more and more scientific studies on homeopathy are being conducted. And clinical research behind it right now is providing some evidence of efficacy of homeopathic medicine. So it's not just the water. With all those multiple dilutions and preparation of homeopathic medicine, it's not just the water. That water has energy, and it does something in the body. It just at this point, technology is not developed yet to prove how exactly it works.
Right, because I think that it moves into something that's called and known very well in science as the quantum field, but that is known, but it is not measurable as yet.
Exactly.
So we will be able to explain it, but like you said, the clinical studies are becoming very strong in terms of a group that uses it and a group that doesn't use it and looking at the difference. In fact, a very, very popular flu remedy, oxalococcinum, which is not the easiest thing to pronounce, but anyone can find it right now, even in every regular mainstream drugstore. Just say the white in a white box, the flu medicine in a white box. Phenomenally effective. And since I'm a medical school instructor and I always have oxalococcinum with me at all times, because the best time to use it is at a first sign of a cold or a flu. So if one of my medical students, you know, says, oh, they're coming down with something, I give it to them at the beginning and they go, oh, whatever, you know, the natural nurse, annoyed. And then by the end of the lecture, I go, so, Tom, how are you feeling? He says, I don't know, fine. They forgot there was even a problem
right.
an hour ago. So we
exactly.
do need to take a little teeny break here. And when we come back, Dr. Klemenko, we will continue our discussion. And I want our listeners to know that you are listening to Dr. Elena Klemenko right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And she has a lovely website that you can look at. And her phone number is very easy to remember, 212-696-HEAL, H-E-A-L, HEAL, because that's what Dr. Elena Klemenko does. She helps you heal. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances such as cough syrups and digestive tonics contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnamic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinzenolin and cinzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, we bring you many radio shows, including this one, right here on Progressive Radio Network. And what's so wonderful about Progressive is that you can listen anytime, day or night, to any of our past shows, which is probably why we have over 150,000 people doing that, and we're happy about that. We love to hear from you as well. So you can go to naturalnurse.com, send us an email, or Facebook The Natural Nurse, and go ahead and post a comment. Today's show, we have as our guest a fascinating doctor, Elena Klimenko. And she is a medical doctor, board certified in internal medicine, and operates the New York-based Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical Center. You can easily find her online. Just look for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical Center or her website, drelenaklimenko.com, or visit our show link, and the link to her website will be right there. And we are discussing many things, but in particular today, our focus is homeopathy because Dr. Klimenko is an expert at using homeopathy as an intervention. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
So what are some of the common health conditions? Because, you know, the mild homeopathics are really available right now everywhere, online, in drugstores, in health food stores, and although it's wonderful to use them, especially the deeper, more complex remedies under the guidance of a physician, there's many first aid remedies that really are quite safe for people to try, probably a lot safer than like Tylenol, which we know, you know, kills many people due to liver toxicity every year.
I agree. So there's actually many conditions you can use homeopathy right off the start. Things like common cold, even flu, you just mentioned acylococcinum, difficult name, but we like to call it acilla. Very simple and could be purchased in any pharmacy at this point. But I recommend and I teach my patients to use homeopathy for mild trauma. Everyone should have arnica in their first aid kit at home. So arnica is great to help with bruising, with trauma, with any muscle soreness, those weekend warriors, especially after the snow we just had in New York. You know, people were shoveling snow, and next day, of course, if they're not trained well, they feel a lot of muscle ache, pains. Arnica is an amazing remedy for that. I also like to recommend homeopathy as a first-line therapy for allergies, for recovering from cold, especially those lingering coughs. For children, for infants, it's an amazing option for treating colics, teething, some behavioral issues. All of that can be extremely easy to, could be easy to use and very safe, as you know. Homeopathy is extremely safe modality, and it could be easily combined with conventional medicine. If someone already received the advice from the pediatrician or their primary doctor, homeopathy can add tremendously to conventional medicine. There is no drug interaction.
Yeah, that's a big difference than herbs, because
yes,
herbs, there often are herb-drug interactions, but homeopathy is so mild. I really think it should be something that every single person has in their home at all times. And I also think it should be used in the hospital. I myself, who has worked in many aspects of healthcare, and I am a PhD RN, and I did work as a psych nurse for quite a while, and I actually used to use Rescue Remedy and other homeopathics that calm people down right in the psych ward with amazing results. And I think that should be among the standard of practice, because what is the downside to try that instead of something like call the orderlies and have people struggle to the ground and tied up in a whole big drama? Why go there instead?
Exactly. I wish I knew this modality when I was doing my emergency room nights, but it comes with experience, and I wish more and more practitioners bring this modality to their conventional setting. But if we can't educate doctors, we need to educate consumers, and there's a lot of available courses, and as you mentioned, you have a course on your website to teach homeopathy to regular people. And all you need to know is a couple of remedies, and you'll help tremendously to all your family members and children.
What
and
do you think some good beginner remedies would be if people wanted to just start stocking their private medicine chest?
I can't live without arnica. So we would use definitely their multi-dose vial of arnica, let's say 6C or 30C, whatever dose you can find. I will definitely use acetylcoccinum. It's always in my purse, as you mentioned also. I would use gelsemium for anticipation anxiety, and especially for those parents whose children are a little bit more shy and get very nervous before the test or before the performance. This is irreplaceable medicine to have at home and give it to a child or even adult before the significant event. So any anticipation anxiety that can present with trembling, mental block, sleeplessness, gelsemium would be a really good medicine. Arsenicum album would be definitely my choice for any food poisoning, especially for people who eat out a lot and get some gastrointestinal distress after eating bad meal, or traveler's diarrhea. This is definitely my choice of medicine, arsenicum album. I can go on and on. Camomilla.
Well, you know, let's talk about some of them individually. For instance, you mentioned arnica.
Correct.
Arnica is definitely a first line of defense homeopathic. And my own mom and dad, who were 87 and 90, would never be without it. Because they are extremely active. They run every day, they swim every day, they dance every day, you know,
right.
87 and 90, and they're not on any medications. And so, like, my mom just kind of, you know, hurt her foot a little bit, and it was a black and blue mark from so much running and dancing. And she just always will pull out that arnica cream. And what's amazing with arnica, with bruising, and I used to use it with my son quite a bit, the one who's 40 now, when he was young on soccer teams, I would always have it there on the soccer field for all the kids, because you could actually see that black and blue mark. It's like you can watch it disappear. It's
right.
Amazing.
Yes.
And there's no other first aid cream that I think will do that.
Right. I don't know any other alternative to arnica cream or gel that is available. But the oral arnica also will help with any acute trauma, any acute pain. The other day, one of my assistants pulled her back, and she came to the office limping. And I said, what's going on? She said, I just pulled my back walking up in the subway stairs. And sure enough, I gave her arnica vial, and I said, okay, take 5 pellets every hour or every time your back reminds you about it. With the pain, that there's some inflammation, something acute going on. So she was taking arnica every hour for the first day, and 2 days later, her pain is gone. She's back with normal back. So Arnica is definitely one of those first aid kit remedies that should be in everybody's home, especially for children, for toddlers who are learning how to walk and falling around and bruising themselves. And Arnica is definitely one of my favorites. I also like Belladonna. What do you think about Belladonna, Ellen?
Well, you know, I have been saved by Belladonna because when I was home and my children were infants and they get a fever late at night, especially because homeopathy is so specific, you know, not for the kind of fever that you're weepy and pale, but the kind of fever where the baby's cheeks are hot and burning and he's screaming because he probably has an ear infection, and at 4 a.m. your choice is to go to the emergency room, which is
right.
Very traumatic for the whole family,
no.
Or pull out your homeopathic kit and try some Belladonna, which I have found to actually make the child break into a sweat and then cool and calm down and just have a nice restful night, and then we can see what's going on in the morning.
Right. Or even if their fever doesn't go down, which is okay, they tolerate fever much better. So Belladonna, any dilution you can find in the pharmacy or in the store near you would be my rescue remedy for high oscillating fever, 102, 103, with their red cheeks, with agitated child who cannot fall asleep or crying or light sensitive. This is the Belladonna picture. Remember, like, cure like. So,
yeah, isn't that amazing? Because I'm sure people have heard the word Belladonna in terms of something that's very poisonous.
Right. But because we're using small infinitesimal doses of Belladonna, which active ingredient is atropine, it's completely safe to be used even in the small babies. And I honestly, and I am probably ashamed to say that, I don't even have Tylenol at home.
I don't either. I never once ever purchased any kind of acetaminophen, ever.
Yeah.
First of all, when we look at the risk-benefit ratio of something like that, it's quite shocking. Since you brought up that, we'll call it acetaminophen so we're not attacked by any particular brand. But, you know, the latest science, as you know, Dr. Elena Klimenko, and this has been published in all the mainstream medical research, is that so many people actually die or are hospitalized because of using acetaminophen that the FDA has now mandated that they put a black box warning on the label. However, they were able to finagle the following, which is, if the acetaminophen is part of a combination or all by itself in a prescription medication, then the black box warning has to be on it. If it's in an over-the-counter medication, even though that causes the same amount of toxicity, they do not have to have the black box warning on it.
Yes. Yeah. It's so misleading to consumers. And that's why there's so many deaths in children, because some adults don't read the labels and they just give children the same dose of over-the-counter medication, which they think is safe because it's not a prescription. And then there's a tragic outcomes.
Yeah, it's just horrible. And, of course, also if you read those things, and I always like to read the other ingredients, besides whatever the active ingredient is, the other ingredients, and what we see there is a hodgepodge of highly toxic chemicals. I can't even believe they allow it in adult medicines, let alone children's medicines, like colored dyes, FD&C, red, green, blue, whatever, all of them, which are toxins. And this is what they're giving children in an over-the-counter remedy. I just think it's criminal.
Right. Well, we do have a safe alternative that can be easily used. You will not harm your child by using even the entire bottle, which is not the indication. But homeopathic medicines are very safe.
They're wonderful.
Used properly. Yes.
Now, is there, you know, one thing I have, believe it or not, I still have the same one. I bought a kit when my children were little, you know, like I said, they're 40 and 37, and now I'm using the same kit. I'm using the same ones on my grandchildren, remedies that I bought 40 years ago. I'm not telling everybody to do that, but they seem to work just as well.
Yes, they don't expire.
Quite amazing. And
really
I bought
don't.
A big kit. In fact, it is a Boreon kit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big, beautiful plastic box, and not it was, it is. It's just that I don't see it on the market now. I wish it still was. And I bought that way back when. I used it for all kinds of things, colds and flus for my children, upset stomachs. And then when they had, you know, first day of school that causes anxiety, or they had to give a speech, or they had to take a big test later in life in high school, and I used it all through. I don't even know how I could have gotten through parenting without homeopathics, truthfully.
Right. Well, your children are lucky that you have that amazing tool in your hands. But it's true. I think you still can order that kit from Boron Company or just order it online where you can, there's probably about 30 remedies,
yeah.
First aid
mm-hmm.
remedies, and homeopathic medicine are not expired. I mean, we can use now the remedies from 40 years, prepared 40 years back, as long as the homeopathic medicine is not exposed to heat. So heat is the...
Not that we're recommending people use it. It has an expiration date on it. I'm just saying.
It has to be, yeah. So it's FDA. So this is a good point because homeopathic medicine in America are FDA regulated since 1938. So it manufactures with strict rules according to their homeopathic compendium of the United States. And it is a drug of good manufacturing practices preparation. So they are regulated.
Yes, they are.
And they are obligated to have expiration date on it, but mm-hmm. as per your experience, it could be...
Yeah, they do have them on there, and I'm not suggesting anyone do what I do. I'm just saying that I see them still just as effective. It's absolutely mind-blowing. One of the political issues that we'll be dealing with coming up shortly, and perhaps you're familiar with this, is that they are going to really change the labeling requirements on homeopathics to reflect more the labeling requirements that are now used on herbs instead of the labeling requirements allowed on over-the-counter medications. And that's really a shame because right now on oxalocoxinum, which we described earlier, it says right on it, for flu remedies, you know, and it says what it could be helpful for. Well, once this law goes into place, which truthfully is moving through the FDA as we speak, it will no longer be allowed to say that on the label. Are you aware of that?
No, I guess it's something new that...
Yeah, well, I work in regulatory, so it's really something I think that the public should be up in arms about because they are taking comment on that right now through the FDA. And do not change the labeling laws on homeopathics because then you won't be able to have all these wonderful websites like Boron has posted and others that you can use to look up symptoms and see which homeopathic might be most appropriate for you or your child. That won't be allowed anymore.
That is really sad and misleading.
Yeah.
We can really attract a lot of consumers just to go to the pharmacy, get a brief consultation from the pharmacist, or just look through the remedies, or even available apps that are provided by Boron, the homeopathic manufacturer, where you can plug the symptom and have a list of remedies applicable for a particular problem, and then just choose based on their symptoms a little bit, do the narrow diagnosis for the remedy. And it would be a shame not to have that option.
It really would. Well, we're going to take another little break right here, and we're going to listen to some stuff about other shows, and there's lots of fantastic shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. And just so you know, you're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z with yours truly, Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And we will be right back more with Dr. Elena Klimenko, and she is from Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Join us Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the premiere of Women's Rights in the Workplace with Jack Tuckner, that's me, when I'll be talking with you about sex discrimination in the workplace and what you can do to protect yourself. Each week, my guests and I will discuss all forms of workplace discrimination affecting women, such as your right to maternity leave, and what you need to know about workplace sexual harassment, and what to do about that harassment if it's happening to you or to someone you love. I'll take your calls and answer your questions as well. Please tune in live on Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM. If you miss the show live, you can listen at your convenience on PRN.FM at any time. And if you like what you hear, please rate the show on iTunes.
The story behind the story, your story, my story, it's all in the mix on Lead Stories right here on PRN.FM. This is Eutrice Lead inviting you to share your thoughts and opinions and expand your knowledge about critical issues of the day, Monday through Friday, right after Gary Null's show. Listen live to a broadcast or get Lead Stories whenever you want from PRN's archive. You can even rate the show on iTunes. Now pass the word. Tell the story to everyone you know. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
This is PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z with Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, along with my guest, Dr. Elena Klimenko, who is a physician in Manhattan, and she runs Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical. And she uses all kinds of integrative techniques for maximum wellness for her patients. And that's what I think all of medicine should be about. You know, Dr. Klimenko, the other day I went to visit a primary care physician. Just because you have to do that, I have no issue, thank God. I've never actually even used my health insurance. But it said you have to be kind of go visit them once so that you're on the record, like God forbid, right? If you have to go to a hospital, I don't know. So, you know, the poor guy, I have to say, I felt so bad for him. This is what medicine is about. He didn't look at me. He looked at me over his shoulder while he was typing into a computer. That was the whole visit.
Sad, isn't it?
Just horrible. What is going on? I mean, it wasn't his fault. He is mandated to do this. And not only that, I have to say he was an elder gentleman, probably a little older than me, which is getting to be really old. And he couldn't really work the computer right because you have to have a certain code and you have to press this button, and it just wasn't going smoothly. So he asked me different ways of saying the same thing to see if the computer would recognize, and that was the whole business. That was all we did.
Yes. Well, and then on top of it, you have 10 minutes to do everything.
Right. Exactly. How can you, as a physician, practice medicine that way?
Well, early in my career, I decided that I cannot practice medicine like this, that there is no therapeutic encounter being with someone for 10 minutes and looking at the computer. I'm still forced to do it once in a while, but not in my private practice, luckily. I decided that I need to spend time with my patients, so my first visit is 90 minutes, 9-0, so hour and a half I spend with the patient to learn everything about their history from the way they were born, actually even earlier, how was their mother's pregnancy? Were there any factors that affected their baby in utero? And how was their birth? Were they breastfed or not? And how was their timeline of health throughout their all the years up to the point that when they're sitting in front of me? So that's how I decided to practice. And along with that, they fill out a 52 questions survey before they come in to see me. So by the time they sit down in front of me, I know so much about them, more than their mother probably knows.
And not only that, you actually look at them. And as a homeopath, you're evaluating, do they have a strong voice? What do they smell like?
How do they look? What their hair looks like? What's their handwriting is? Yes, all of those things do matter to diagnose and treat patients and help them to achieve maximum wellness, as you mentioned.
What a wonderful thing that a doctor like you actually still exists.
Because I think there's more and more doctors.
Blown away.
More and more doctors going that way because conventional doctors are not satisfied with the way things work, so they're looking for other ways. So I see the tendency, and maybe it's just my camaraderie for my colleagues. I feel that more and more doctors feeling the need to go back to old ways of communicating with patients and hold their hands and examine them and ask about how their family is and what's going on in their mental, emotional state, not just physical symptoms. Because we cannot address everything without knowing what's going on in their heart, what they're thinking about, what's their worries, what's their stress level. All those factors are very important.
They are important, and it's amazing that medicine seems to be moving in such an impersonal direction. I can't even imagine the younger people who are coming up that will find medicine as a satisfying career if all they're doing is typing into a computer all day.
Yes. Well, we hope it's going to change. I'm an optimist.
I think it is changing because you're available. People can come see you in Manhattan. And also, if you're looking at your viewpoint, you like to support looking well as well as feeling well, but not looking well first, like just, you know, get rid of everything through just changing it, but feeling well and then looking well. And I know that you also offer Botox.
I offer certain, yes, non-invasive cosmetic procedures for women and men.
Now, I saw a commercial on TV. I just want to know your opinion about this. I saw something about using Botox for migraines, and
yes.
I had never heard of that before. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, of course. It's one of the recent indications that Botox received.
Oh, so that would actually be considered an indication then?
Yes.
It's not an off-indication use. I didn't know that.
Tension headaches and migraines, right, because a lot of people get migraines because of the muscle spasm in the particular points of their either neck or head or scalp, and injecting small quantity of Botox will relax those muscles and therefore the headaches will go away. Interesting indication, but helped a lot of people to feel better.
Now, I've also noted some homeopaths who I know that actually use homeopathy as an injectable because that's widely done in Europe.
Right. Yeah, it is one of the modalities that I also practice. It's called biopuncture.
Oh, could you tell us more about that?
It's B-I-O puncture. So it's basically injections of our homeopathic medicines into their particular points in the body to alleviate either pain or spasm or treat old, poorly healing injuries, like tendon ruptures or ligament tears. So this is another modality that is available out there. And it's completely safe. It's definitely much safer than steroids injections that have a lot of negative side effects. And I find it extremely effective.
And it's wonderful because that's something that you can legally do as a medical doctor, which people cannot do as a home remedy. So it's taking the use of homeopathy into a new level. But I've seen it work fantastically well with so many less adverse effects than some other kinds of interventions that might be used in conventional medicine.
Right. It is an excellent modality, and if anybody is interested, they can Google biopuncture and find a lot of information on that.
And so that's something that's very, very interesting. Now, we talked, and you talked about the word dilution. So
right.
We used it during our show, but we didn't define it. And, of course, all those homeopaths out there, you know, they don't need an explanation. But other people might wonder, what does that mean when you're talking about dilutions?
Well, in the process of preparation of homeopathic medicine, we take their raw material, let's say it's a plant, and we prepare a mother tincture out of the plant. So it's basically through the process of maceration and extraction will take all their life force of that plant and create a concentrate concentrated medicine from the plant. Then we'll take one part of that mother tincture and we'll mix it with 99 parts of their solvent, usually in alcohol, 70% of alcohol. So we'll mix it, and we'll not just mix it, but we also will put this medicine through their very controlled process of succession and vigorous shaking, by the way, to say that. So this vigorous shaking will prepare a first dilution, or just the dilution of one. Then we'll take one part of that dilution and mix it with 99 parts of their solvent again, and that's going to be a second dilution. And this process goes on and on and on, up to 15 times or 30 times. That's the most commonly used concentrations or dilutions, 15 or 30. So eventually, there's no active substance in the preparation, but there is definitely energy of the medicine still there.
Right, and that kind of discussion sometimes throws conventional doctors off. Like, what the heck are you talking about?
Correct.
There's no actual substance. And they'll go in and they'll do these specials where they pull homeopathics off the shelf and measure them, and then they make a big news report about the fact that nothing's in there. But that's actually the definition of homeopathy. So,
Right. You
know, we're at the end of our time, but we just wanted to spike interest in the topic, and I think that you very, very much did. So thank you so much for being a guest on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I'd like to remind our guests that we're talking to Dr. Elena Klimenko, and you can Google her at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Medical, or just visit the link for this show, and you'll see her link. Go right to her page, send her an email, ask her questions, become her patient if you're a smart person who really wants the highest level of gentle and effective medical intervention. And until next week, this is Ellen Kamite, the Natural Nurse. And as always, I'm wishing you the best. And please, stay healthy.
Thank you.